So I'm 1998. I'm a corporate lawyer, and it's in New York City, and I am working hard on a deal, and I'm up all night, I'm up all week working on this deal, and it was the Giants. They were playing somebody in the playoffs, and the guy who's working with me decides that he needs to be at his football party on the Sunday before our deal closes. So he tells the client, hey, listen, you know, Lauren's got this. She's got all the paperwork. She knows what she's supposed to do. And you know, I'll be here on Monday morning, right for the deal to close. And the guy turns to her, to him, and he says, you're leaving me with the effing coat check girl? So I'm thinking, coat check girl? I'd be the goddamn waitress. Shit, you know. So sorry for my curse. So anyway, no, seriously, I was very upset. And I ran to Barnes & Noble on 3rd Avenue in Manhattan. And that's usually where I went when I wanted to cry. I went up in the stacks and had my teary little moment. And when I came downstairs, who's standing there but Stephen King? Now, I am a huge Stephen King fan. So I went up to him and I was like, oh, my God, I love you. I love you. And he's looking at me very oddly because, you know, what black woman reads Stephen King novels, right? And I'm thinking, and I can see it on his face, like, this is a first for me. And I'm so I'm like, okay, God. So I go back to my office and I'm thinking, you know, forget this law thing. I'm going to write a book. So I go home in the middle of the night, and I start writing, and I've got my dog there, and I'm typing, 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 and I finish this novel after a year or so, and I'm like, yeah, and then I didn't get it published. And I was like, okay, I'm going to try this again, and it didn't get published. So now I'm thinking, huh, I think I better stick with this lawyer thing. So fast forward a couple of years later, and I'm now back home in Maryland, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, this whole working thing is getting kind of annoying, you know. I'm always working. So I had some babies. My second child was born. And soon after she was born, I decided, you know, I'm going to take a little time off. But during that time, my grandmother actually had a stroke. And I remember taking the baby in the carrier, my mother and my sister. We all went up to Brooklyn, and I was sitting in the hospital room, and I was next to her bed, and I was thinking as I was watching her that I don't know this woman. I mean, I'd spent all this time in Brooklyn growing up, and I never asked her any questions about her life, about how she got to this country from Trinidad, about anything. And I realized that that time was possibly gone. So a couple of months pass, and my grandmother's back out. She's out of the hospital, and she's recovering very slowly. And my paternal grandfather has passed away, and we have to go to Trinidad. And we go to Trinidad, and I'm sitting in this little village where my grandmother actually was born and raised. And it's in the north part of Trinidad, and it's the most beautiful place. I mean, it's very idyllic and very quaint, but it's way out there. It's, you know, what they call the bush, and but it's by the ocean, it's by the sea, and I'm sitting, and my sister's like drawing in the sand. She always puts her name on everything, so she's got Halcyon written in like big letters, and I'm kind of sitting there, and there's these little dogs lapping water, and actually the place is so beautiful that it's got this river that almost touches the sea, and so the dogs are lapping up water in the river, and I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking about my grandmother growing up in this little village and thinking about how her life changed so dramatically by making one decision to come to the United States of America. She came here as a domestic, and she left her children behind, and she left a really difficult marriage. And I thought, that is a really interesting story. So I came back home, and I decided I'm going to try to write this story. So I signed up for a class at the Bethesda Writer Center. It was called Extreme Novelist, How to Write Your Book with 90 Minutes a Day Free. So I was like, okay, this is my work. It sounds gimmicky, but I'll make this work. And sure enough, I ended up writing a book with 90 minutes. No, not really 90 minutes, but more than 90 minutes a day. But eventually, you start to get used to kind of, you know, sitting down at the computer and actually banging it out, and you just don't leave. And after a while, you do end up with something. But of course, the voice in the back of my head is saying, but you failed at this twice already. So what makes you think this is going to work? So that during that class that I'd taken, the teacher actually had suggested that we go and meet agents up front, you know, in face-to-face, not to send query letters, but to actually just, you know, do whatever you can to get in front of an agent. So there was this conference called Thriller Fest, and I decided to sign up for Thriller Fest. Now, mind you, I did not write a thriller, but I show up because they've got this speed dating thing going, and you can sit in front of an agent and pitch your book. So I go, and I'm in my blue lawyer suit, you know, decked out, my collars, my white collars showing, I've got my heels on, and, you know, looking very, I think I'm looking very snappy, right? And I go in, and everyone's in grunge. They've got, you know, like jeans and ripped up shirts, and they've all written like vampire stories, and I'm feeling very out of place. So I sit down in front of my first agent, who I'm assigned to, and I pitch my novel. And it's this story about this mother and these children in Trinidad, and, you know, their son and curry, and, you know, and I'm going on and on. And she looks at me, and she's like, okay, enough. Send it to me. And I'm like, what? You want me to send it to you? Okay, awesome. So I go to 12 more people that day, and every single one of them said, send it to me. And I'm like, wow, that's cool. But remember, I've sent two novels before, right? So I'm thinking, ah, this is not going to work. So I send it. And within 3 days, I had an agent. And it was the most exciting thing. I go talk to her. She needs some changes. So I'm working on changes for maybe a year or so. And finally, it's ready. You know, I've put together this book. It's been like 3-4 year experience. And during this time, my grandmother has passed, and I'm feeling kind of, I don't know, a little strange that she didn't really know, she didn't really really grasp what it was that I was doing, that I was telling her story on these pages. So they send it out to editors, and the very night that they sent it out to an editor or to the group of editors, I had a dream, and I'd been reading this really juicy novel. So, you know, when I woke up and I remembered the dream, I was thinking about this novel because my grandmother had come to me in the dream. And she said to me, and she looked very young in this, and I can't even believe I'm saying this in public, but she looked very young in this dream, and she said to me, that's a really good book. And I thought, she's got to be talking about the book that I'm reading, right, which is super juicy. And then I wake up, and I'm like, wait. She's talking about my book. It's like she's given me this book. And then the next day, I had an auction on my novel. Like four, you know, editors wanted it. And I thought to myself, what a gift. What a gift. I might not have been able to ask her her story, but somehow she was able to give it to me. So thanks.